Clitorisation. Now there's a word I've not heard for a while. I know. I do have a tendency to make words up, but bear with me this time. In its simplest form, clitorisation is a way of turning any part of the body into something delicate, something tangible, something tantalising. You simply pretend that you're touching, kissing maybe, or nibbling the innocent part of the body as if it were that mysterious little fold of flesh that usually stays hidden away, all wrapped up warm in its own set of blankets, but which occasionally peeps out to make sure it doesn't miss all the fun that's going on when fun is being had. And it is, of course, the perfect way to share some intense moments with a playmate in public. So, imagine a scenario. It's 10 o'clock in the evening. You've just gone to see Force Awakens, but the snow is falling and beginning to bite, and it's getting late, so you dive into the bar across the road and wait for brother-in-law Mike to fight his way across the highway in his armored ex-military 4x4 to come and pick you up and get you home safely. I'm led to believe, apparently, it has bilateral xenon axle torsion alignment settings to the drive shaft, so not only will it get you home to your bed, you could notionally choose, if you want, to invade Kansas, and they wouldn't even see you coming. And it's also a big white thing, so it hides well in the snow, like a polar bear. Only, it growls louder than a polar bear. So maybe a polar bear with a headache. Nestled in a corner booth, with a glass of red and a glass of Jack, you play footsie under the table, simmering with the idea that Mike should just fucking hurry up. But eyes glinting, you gently raise your glass and take a sip, holding that gaze as she leans her head to one side, smiling. As she sparkles in that way that she does, and waits for you to smolder. Placing the glass carefully down on the stained woodwork, you merely say, "Give me your hand." Quietly, but loud enough to be heard. Palm up, and reach across that cramped table to touch and slide across and up the offered arm, skin across skin, tactility winning the day, just reminding you that we are actually real and sentient and alive. The leg pressed against you under the table presses harder as you drag your nails so gently back down towards her wrist. Fingers circle softly and ever slowly, eliciting a grin and a very soft giggle. You fucker, I know what you're doing. I just chuckle innocently. I have no idea what you mean. Yes, you do. But all I do is circle, light, but firm, stroking her fingertips, broadening out now from the wrist, as if searching, lingering here and there, ever seeking, as if never finding. A pseudo fool's errand, and still ever gentle, tactile, and almost ticklish. Circling in ever diminishing travels into the center of your given palm, faster, like a swirling disappearance, into the mystery of where the water goes in the bathroom sink, my finger arches to stroke the tip of my nail as I circle faster into the center of that beautiful palm, and all I can feel is my heart beating and your foot stroking my own leg up and down as you shiver and sigh. And when I slow and then stop and look up into those eyes to see those blushing eyes and then press that palm firmly, but ebb back and forth, mimicking something that we had experienced only just that morning. Firm, then soft, back, and then forth. And you grinned and whispered, "Stop it." "Why?" As I just continued, pressing my fingers into your hand, wanting you to feel me press hard, then relax, then press, then touch, back and forth, back, then forth, just circling mercilessly. "You know why." As Mike gunned his engine and shifted into a lower gear, when the snow curtained down, almost drowning the interstate with snowflakes, I remembered why her eyes glinted when she'd said that. "Glastonbury?" "Yes." "Well, you never did believe me, did you? I made it clear right from the start that I could do that." "Yes, it's true, I didn't believe. I just thought you were full of it." And she sipped from her glass, big, wide, smiley eyes, reminiscing, as I was always ready to do so. But another circle reminded her, nail grazing firmly right in the center of her palm. Glastonbury. The holy magnet for a long weekend of revelations, noodles, mud, and redolent misbehavior. The closest thing we can nowadays get to the heady days of Roman impropriety and decadence. I chanced upon a double ticket, and she thought long and hard about that invitation, but eventually decided yes. And we fought the train and the traffic, and pitched the tent, and slurped through the mud from stage to stage in gumboots, and saw incredible people doing impossible things. Kissed under the clouds in the moonlight, saw shooting stars, and we ate Mongolian sack dumplings with far too much chili sauce, and collapsed against each other at night until the next day dawned, to the sound of panpipes drifting through the mist. But the closing night was different. There was literally fire in the air, and flags waved, and an ambience flowed across the whole field as strangers crammed as close as they could, when bass guitars flared and anthems came and went, and all we did was dance and holler, caught up in the moment as each one came with its own intensity. And then, I'm a bastard. I freely admit it. I'd planned it all. I knew her favorite band was playing on the closing night, and I'd made sure we were right in the middle of the crowd that surged as they came on stage. She squealed almost as loud as our fellow hedonists around us as the opening chords rang out, and my arms wrapped around her as she swayed and danced, as the heat and sweat rubbed against us. A rabble of beings, just excited at the noises pumping out across the fields of Somerset. Half in protection, but also, I've got to admit, half in lust. I wrapped her to me, feeling her squirm to the left, and also to the right, and I just pressed my mouth to her shoulder, kissing it lightly at first, then feeling her slow a little, and I searched more keenly, more hungrily. The music faded away as she felt the touch against her neck, and she closed her eyes as my mouth discovered her ear, and I growled into it all the subtle flavors of my life. "I'll become," she whispered. As I held her, the crowd went wild. Two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl. part of a maddening crowd of boiling effervescence, and all I could do was kiss her earlobe, gently, delicately, while my hands pressed firm and kept her to me, as my mouth began to rove, feeling her slacken and fold against me, just hearing the energy around us, and trusting me to be with her in the moment, as she laid her head to one side and nestled against. A tender kiss as I licked and flicked her earlobe, before pouncing and greedily sucking it into my mouth, hard at first, feeling her tense, before I relaxed and slowly dialed things down. Teeth that kept that position in place as I sucked and I licked and then tasted, telling her the things I wanted to do. My hands keeping her close, the MDMA in our souls just reaching out for comfort and touching inside as the tongue flicked again and again, and she quivered as the crowd roiled against us. But we barely knew this. I could feel her tense every time I renewed the pressure, every time I claimed her against my sweating body, every time she sighed and matched my frame. And when she held her breath and giggled and then shivered, I nipped sharply with my teeth and then held her tight as the music soared and the crowd convulsed, and we joined them in a joy shared. Only ours was not quite the same as theirs. Almost, but not quite. But I did end up convincing you, didn't I? As I took a sip of my own in that little booth. Clitorization. As the word was finished for me, a mischievous grin grew across the table. And I grinned like a child as your eyes bored into me, feeling you stretch under the table, running your ankle up against my leg. I always told you to trust me, I offered. I know, but I didn't want to. But you did eventually. Yes. I put my glass down and settled, still feeling your foot under that table. What will we do? Toes tonight? I just giggled. I think that might be achievable. I do hope so, Mr. Englishman. And that was when I just smiled, knowing Mike was on his way. As the blizzard came.